This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. I'm inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio, and I'm calling this an official folk supergroup that I have here. Right?
Kelly makes us feel good.
Yes. I have Kelly Mulholland to my left, Mike Shirky to his left, Donna Stierna to Mike's left, and to her left is Emily Cates. Did I get
Yes.
Going clockwise. You're going to play some music, but the reason we're all gathered here is because you're also going to all play music at the Fayetteville Underground on February 21st. Emily?
We are having a wonderful benefit concert pay for Mike Shirky to have a new mountain dulcimer made to replace one that was unfortunately stolen from him in December. And we have assembled a great lineup. We've got Still on the Hill, who are here today. We have my trio, Outside the Lines. We've got the Mike Sumler Trio with John Johnston and J.T. Huff. And we've got Trout Fishing in America. Mm-hmm. And there's, like most of Mike's shows, there will be two sets with an intermission. In this case, each of the acts will play for, you know, kind of half a set. And we're going to get Mike to play a few songs on the dulcimer also at the event.
Outside the Lines, Still on the Hill, Mike Sumler Trio, Trout Fishing America. This program, this bill has never been in existence before, has it?
Never.
I guess not.
Mike just has a lot of talented friends, and we could have had plenty more, but we thought we'd limit it to four acts.
And is Baird Blaine is going to be making the dulcimer for him?
Yeah, we've commissioned Baird Blaine to make a new dulcimer, and he probably won't have the dulcimer done by the show. But he's got a lot of other work, but he is going to make one. And Mike, maybe tell him what happened, what was about the robbery.
I'll just point out that Baird is a luthier and a member of Three Penny Acre as well.
Yes.
That's correct.
So how long had you had the dulcimer?
Well, I built this dulcimer about 1983 or somewhere in there. I really can't remember. And I took a little course that was offered here in town, and I had already played the dulcimer, and I wanted a new one. And people who I was looking at that time wanted, you know, most of them were going for $500 or more, which was a considerable sum then. And so I took this course, and it turned out, by the luck of the draw, this dulcimer had a really good tone.
Undoubtedly.
Yeah.
It was quite famous. And,
yeah.
And it's going to be quite a challenge to replace, in fact. I mean, what were the exotic woods in that thing?
Catalpa wood.
Catalpa wood. I've never heard of that being used.
I know. And then the sides and the fretboard in the back were, in the headstock, was a cherry.
Wow.
In fact, the headstock that I carved out came out of an old piano. It was a piece of cherry wood that was... Yes. The soundboard for this piano.
I find that a lot of dulcimers really don't have much horsepower, and this one did. It could keep up with the whole ensemble.
Yeah.
And it had, but it was not just horsepower. It was also quality. It was rich.
It was really rich, yeah.
And I already miss it.
I miss it a lot.
And so many people listening don't know what happened. Someone broke into your place and took it.
Yeah, I was not at home, and somebody kicked in the back door. It apparently about noon, it was 12:12:12, and I'm a deer hunter, and they stole some an old antique shotgun I had and some other things, but they took the mountain dulcimer, I guess, to beat a deer on the head. I don't know.
They thought it was firewood.
Well, they think it was in a case that might have resembled a gun case, I think.
Wow.
And I was in Stuttgart attending a funeral.
Now, we know that it wasn't a listener of KUAF who took it. We know that, right? But if you know someone who suddenly has come up with a wonderful mountain dulcimer.
It's oversized. One thing, it's real dark wood, and it's quite oversized. It's much thicker than average dulcimer. I bet it's only almost 5 inches thick.
Yeah, it's pretty thick. Yeah.
And really unusual design. Obviously not factory made. But, you know, I'm excited about this because... And I hope everybody listening also realizes that this is a chance to do something for Mike Shirky, who has been doing something for us for 30 years.
Uh-huh.
You know, and he has been providing folk music. He's been the anchor of folk music in our town for 30 years. And so we have an opportunity now to do this thing for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's great.
And Baird is such an amazing, amazing luthier. He will rise to the challenge and create a dulcimer worthy of Mike.
This is going to be his first one, but he's already doing research, and I think he's going to build two at once. Mm-hmm. Somebody else is offering. Hey, a few years ago, he actually talked to me about building one, so now he gets his chance.
Yeah, I know he'll do good.
And I'm overwhelmed that this.
Baird is quite wonderful, everything he makes. So.
Now, mountain dulcimer is the dulcimer that a lot of people, if you grew up in the Ozarks, are most familiar with. It's kind of that figure eight sort of look.
That's correct.
But what you have today, Michael.
Oh, now, this is another instrument with a long story. This is, I guess, a long neck dulcimer, you could call it. It's beautiful wood. It's made by a luthier from Austin, Texas, Steve Wise, who Emily introduced me to. And it's made out of koa wood and spruce top. And it looks like a bouzouki.
It does.
Or mandocello, you might say. Yeah. And it's got a nice tone. And I play this, but the traditional dulcimer, and I added some frets to it, was there's just a lot of things I can't do on this that I could do on that. I mean,
it's a different animal.
Yeah, it is.
Well, it's nice, but it's not the same.
The instrument that Mike has with him today, the Steve Weiss dulcimer that looks like a bouzouki or mandocello, is played, you know, like a guitar or a bouzouki or mandocello, but it's tuned like a dulcimer. But the mountain dulcimer is actually played horizontally. You put it on your lap or on a horizontal surface, and you play it that way. So it's played differently, and it's a different instrument.
Yeah, this is played. You can play it like a rock star.
Like
that's how you play it. Yes. Well, let's see. We've got Kelly with banjo, Mike with dulcimer.
Good.
Got the fiddle down there with Donna. Guitar with Emily.
Yep.
And only this time I'm going to play it on my lap on this.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
This is a good Arkansas song to start off with here.
Yeah.
Ready?
Yep.
Yeah.
Little cabin door and fiddled at a tune that he liked to hear. A jolly old tune that he played by ear. It was raining hard, but the fiddle didn't care. He sawed away at the mountain air. Roofs fiddle leaked like a waterfall. Didn't seem to bother that old man at all.
The Arkansas Traveler. I love the sound of a dulcimer. Some people who aren't musicians won't understand the relationship that someone has with an instrument that they've had for decades. Like, Kelly, I look at your banjo.
That's true.
And that is not a new banjo.
That's true. I know. I would be heartbroken. I can very much sympathize. And the fact that he made it himself is absolutely irreplaceable. This will be a wonderful facsimile of that instrument, because Baird is extremely talented and very trustworthy about such things, but still, it won't be the same thing.
Donna, what about that fiddle you have?
This is a fiddle from Europe, and it's hundreds of years old, and it was gifted to me, and it's priceless. I just don't know what I would do if I lost it.
Yep.
And the guitar I'm playing is a custom guitar that was made for me it wasn't made for me. It was made when I lived in Texas by a luthier named Jamie Kincherf, and it was actually made for a friend of mine who later sold it to me. But I've become very attached to it, and it's a great instrument too. So,
well, can we hear another tune?
Yeah. What's number two?
Should we do a Shokin Farewell?
Oh, okay.
We'll do something real pretty here.
I'm just going to second you here, Mike.
All right. Here we go. 1, 2, 3.
Mike Shirky, Emily Cates, and the duo Still on the Hill, Donna Stierna and Kelly Mulholland, were inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio last week. The concert is sold out. You can learn more about the fundraising effort by calling 409-1224. And we'll also hear more from our session inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio on weekend Ozarks at Large. That's Sunday morning at 9 on KUAF.
Ron Rash's stories and novels are often set in Appalachia, but readers everywhere will glimpse something familiar.
The writers I love most have been able to find the universal in the particular. Eudora Welty once said, "One place understood helps us understand all other places better."
Ron Rash's short stories, Nothing Gold Can Stay, Saturday on the Weekend Edition from NPR News.
Weekend Edition Saturday, tomorrow morning from 7 until 9 on KUAF 91.3 FM.